The problem with our generation is the same as every generation in human history. We do not want to play by God's rules. We want all of the sin without any of the consequences. But God doesn't work that way. Have you tried to talk with a person whose values differed from or contradicted your own? If so, you can understand somewhat the problem God must have in dealing with us. He says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." In no area is that more evident than in moral and ethical issues. What we may call a mere mistake, God might call a sin. We respond to God's standards of condemning what we would justify by pretending sin is not as serious as He says it is. One way we justify ourselves is by playing with labels, changing what we call sin. What He calls lust, we call love. What He calls a whore in the King James Version of the Bible, we call a consort, a courtesan, or a party girl. What He calls a whoremonger, we call a playboy. And what He calls adultery, we pass off as being only an affair. But if a rose by any other name would smell as sweet, a sin by any other name would be just as sinful. If you have a bottle of poison and change the label to read vitamins, does that change the nature or the effect of the poison? Not at all. It is sure to kill you if you consume it. Well, a problem with our generation is the same as every generation in human history. We do not want to play by God's rules. We want all the sin without any of the consequences. But He never works that way. God warns, "Be guiltless before the Lord. But if you do not so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sins will find you out." When we have all the sin, we reap all the consequences. "For be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Now observe those Bible principles demonstrated in a real life situation. You can read of the incident in 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12. It occurred in the life of David, the king of Israel, who was afterward called a man after God's own heart. David had sent his army into battle against the city of Rabbah, but he remained in his palace in Jerusalem. One evening as he walked on the balcony of his palace, he saw a beautiful woman who was bathing in her house. He inquired about her and learned her name was Bathsheba. She was married to Uriah, who was away with David's army on the battlefield. So David brought Bathsheba into the palace and committed adultery with her. And then he tried to cover it by deceit and finally by the murder of her husband. From that true historical incident, we can learn several principles that will keep a person from such an affair today. The first principle of moral purity is this: guard your leisure time. Now, it's evident that King David did not do that. The text makes it quite clear that it was common for kings to go into battle with their armies, but David did not. He remained in the comforts of his palace in Jerusalem while his army lived in tents near the besieged city. The affairs of the day had ended. The king was walking leisurely upon the balcony of his palace. He had time on his hands and was unsure what to do with it. So it was from that elevated balcony he could see through the windows into the houses nearby, and that was when he saw Bathsheba and lusted for her. There is a saying, "An idle mind is the devil's workshop." Well, David experienced that personally. He had nothing to demand his attention at that time. His thoughts kept returning to the beautiful Bathsheba. He began to plan how he could bring her into a situation where he could seduce her. Now, if he had been busy and controlled his mind, the sin would never have occurred. And what a tragedy that he did not. So I counsel you, watch your leisure time. It is in such times that the devil is especially active. He does not have such an opportunity when you are involved in constructive activity or wholesome social fellowship. But when the mind is free from other demands, the devil can bring all sorts of evil thoughts into it, and evil thoughts produce evil actions. Therefore, when your work day is ended, go home to your family. Who can imagine how much evil has resulted because a man stopped to have a drink with the boys before going home from work? The three most important things in your life should be your God, your family, your work, in that order. Now, when work is ended, you belong at home with your family. They've missed you all day and they want to see you. Moreover, when you go out for social activities, guard your company. Stay with your party, that is, your husband or wife or friend. If you're with a group, stay with them. A widely publicized rape trial resulted from a man picking up a woman whom he did not know in a public place of entertainment. Also, guard your coffee breaks when you are on the job. Take care about your time and conversation at the water cooler or in the cafeteria at lunch. All such innocent contacts can become the occasion for serious involvement if they're not kept under control. I could tell you tragic stories which I have heard in pastoral counseling, but will not share them because they were spoken in confidence. Tragedies, I say, which began as innocent flirtation in relation to office contacts. I warn you not to expose yourself overmuch to an available person. You can identify by words or actions the person who is willing to become involved in a sexual affair with you. And if you recognize such potential involvement, and particularly if you sense an attraction to that other person, follow the advice given to young Timothy by the aged Apostle Paul. Run. The purest resolves can fall when the temptation is great, so keep yourself from temptation. There are two worthy things you can do with your leisure time which will be most productive. One, spend your leisure time with your family. Most parents spend so little quality time with their children and with one another that it contributes to the breakdown of marriage and the home. But give time to your family in casual fellowship, in recreation, in entertainment, in productive work around the house. Just give a little thought to it and you will find many things your family can do together to your mutual joy. And second, spend your leisure time in serving God. Now, God has decreed that one day in seven should be given Him, and He commanded an observance of the Sabbath of rest. But you can give much more than that to Him. Help some elderly person about his home. Visit someone in the hospital or a rest home. Mow a lawn. Bake a cake. Take a child out for entertainment. Show personal interest in another, and both you and they will grow as a result of your involvement in them. David would never have become an adulterer with Bathsheba or the murderer of her husband if he had guarded his leisure time. And you can be kept from sexual sin if you will guard your time. Resolve to be pure and begin today. Father, we admit that we're subject to temptation. And in spite of our highest desires and sincere resolutions, any one of us could fall. But Lord, we want to be pure. We do not want to be defiled before You or betray one who loves us. Therefore, we ask Your help in guarding our lives, lest Satan get an advantage over us. And to that end, we pledge strict self-discipline in Jesus' name. Amen.